Good morning. This is Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a excellent guest in from New Zealand, but he's living in Malaysia now. Mr. Greg Dufell, who is the CEO of Vulcane AI. Greg, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Darrell. A pleasure to be here.
So before we jump in, could you share with our audience really your vast and great experience that you have?
Thanks. I've got enough time to fill all this in, but you mentioned New Zealand. I was born in New Zealand 6 decades ago and grew up in a rural, very small rural community. At a very young age, decided that I wanted to be a Tom Cruise Top Gun and try and be a fighter pilot, and ended up actually joining the Australian Air Force to train to fly. Lasted there for a few years and in Australia, and so my first overseas country, then joined a franchising organization, started franchising car rental throughout the Asia Pacific region. And that's where at a very young age, I started jumping on planes and traveling the world, like every young person's dream. But I got paid for doing it, so it was even better. So I spent a decade opening up franchises from North Japan and Taiwan and China and Asia and then the beautiful Pacific Islands. So I traveled all over the region. And doing that for a decade, and ended up living in Singapore, moving from Australia to Singapore in the late 80s. And that was my first sort of overseas living adventure. And I've now lived and worked, and I realized I've lived and worked in six continents around the world. So you do have that experience, and that in itself is sort of an education in itself. From Singapore, I've been now based in Asia for the last 30 years. Although having a base in Asia, I have lived in Europe, I have lived in the US, I have lived in the Middle East doing different ventures. And just to sort of summarize what some of those adventures were, in the US, I was in Silicon Valley for a while, working with some great people there, doing a technology startup just after .com. So we were had to do that, go across the Wall Street and try and raise money in those tough times when nobody was interested in technology. And I think my first lesson in management and leadership was it's the people. It's the people that are important. And we actually changed our pitch deck and when we were pitching to Wall Street and put the people up front and the technology last. And guess what? We raised money. They weren't so interested in the technology. They loved the people that we had involved in the venture. And that was a really critical leadership lesson and fundraising lesson, actually. You can have great technology, but if you don't have the right people, it still ain't going to work. I lived in the Middle East working with Emirates Airlines for a little while and went across there to do a bit of consulting for them for a week or two and ended up staying for 2 years in the Middle East. So that was a pretty long 2 week excursion, but a fascinating place, where people from all cultures of the world congregate. And when you do business in the Middle East, you're not doing business with Middle Easterns. You're doing business with people from Africa, Europe, the States, Asia, all over the world. And it's really interesting to be in those types of environments and try and do your business and conduct deals in those types of environments. But here in Asia, it's really been my home, and it's been a fascinating journey here in Asia. I've been running travel technology companies for many, many years. I've started some of my own companies, some of them successfully, some of them not so successfully. And I've been involved more and more, not just on the technical side, but I think getting to where we are, my current venture here with Vulcane, being involved in the knowledge behind that technology, what makes it tick? And we get to sort of the thing called data. What is data? Ones and zeros, which is pretty dumb. But once you start using that data in a business, using that data to plan your business and using that data to sell things, then it becomes quite exciting because it comes alive and it becomes real knowledge. So my journey's been quite a journey around the world, and now I end up here living in Malaysia, a great country in the middle of Asia here, my latest venture is Vulcane with AI, and again, all about the people. We have some fantastic people behind this, which I'd love to tell you about.
So let's start off with the name. How did you come up with the name Vulcane AI? It sounds like Spock. Let me get so I can get the fingers right.
Well, you know, I think I went on to GoDaddy, and every time you put in some AI name in GoDaddy, it's been taken, it's been taken, it's been taken. And you're exactly right. Being a sort of an oldie Star Trek sort of a fan myself and loving that series on Netflix now, you can see it all, of course. You know, Vulcan, the word Vulcan and Spock. I thought of Spock, actually, because when I came across the wonderful AI people out of Boston and their team, you know, I began to realize that, wow, when they say they can explain AI to someone like myself, who's, you know, I'm not an AI expert in any means, being able to understand what it means was really important. So I did think of Spock, you know, that, and he was just very logical in explaining things. There was no emotion there. And it's not exactly what AI is. There's no emotion in AI, but if you can explain it, it makes sense. Vulcan was taken, and I thought, well, hang on, why don't we just put the letters AI into Vulcan, and it became Vulcane. And I checked on Vulcane. Vulcane.com was taken, and it's a luxury watchmaker. And I said, well, hey, that's not bad. If someone stumbles on Vulcane.com and they come across a luxury watchmaker, the watchmaker was in the 1890s, Vulcane, and it was the first mechanical alarm watch. And I said, well, it's not bad to be compared with that. And they give their watches to US presidents, so that's not bad either. Wow. So I registered Vulcane.ai, and that's how we got to Vulcane.
Nice. So how did this all come about? This group in Boston, tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So I've been involved in a consultancy called Arioper out of Europe for decades, and they are one of the masters of capturing knowledge. And as a CEO of a company, I've fallen into this trap many times myself, where at the annual staff meeting, you get up as a CEO and you thank all the staff and you give out some prizes and you sort of say these silly things like, you're my greatest asset in this company. You're my staff, and without you, a company wouldn't operate. And you dread the thought that, you know, maybe some staff member would check the financial filings of the company and say, excuse me, Mr. CFO, but I can't find the staff as an asset. I can only see staff as a liability on your balance sheet. Well, that's true. And so Arioper spent decades figuring out how to calculate the value of people in a company and extracting that value and actually putting it into numbers and actually now being able to audit it and put it onto a balance sheet of a company. So you can do an intellectual capital audit of a company. And when you think of all these new startups, Silicon Valley startups, and all these companies that don't have a lot of assets anymore, they're not manufacturing cars and machinery, they're actually manufacturing software and internet things. How do you value them? And so they've calculated a method of doing this. And in doing so, the president of that company, Peter Stockman, who's a wonderful gentleman with years and years of experience running Ford Motor Company and the Ford, the world car, and again, even greater experience globally than I have. And Peter had said to me, he's come across this interesting data AI company in Boston. Greg, you need to see this company. And he got me onto a call with Dr. Robert Whitehair, Bob. And as the saying goes, that's where it began. Bob started talking about his journey and all about causal AI. And I hadn't heard of this. What is causal AI? And I'd heard, I was using ChatGPT to cheat and write all my emails and do my planning for me without realizing what sort of danger I was getting myself into. When he started talking about causal AI, the penny dropped. The penny really dropped.
So for our audience, define what is causal AI.
Very simply, in the name of it, defining causes. So generally when you look at data, lots of ones and zeros, and you begin to analyze data and all the conventional AI we see out there today and we use today, it analyzes data in a fairly common way. It finds patterns in the data, it finds correlations in the data, and from those patterns, it then makes some sort of forecasting and prediction. And it averages out that data, and so quite meaningful for you and me because we can sort of understand it. But in real life, that's not how things happen. In real life, when you look at a graph, a data graph, it's not a smooth curve. It goes up and down and flat and comes back. And why is that happening? And it's happening because something's causing an action. Something's causing a force to happen on that data. So what Bob and his team at Umonix do is they look at to find those causes. They define those causes, and using those causes, using domain experts who are experts in the actual field, or they might be financial experts, insurance experts, medical experts, to define what happened with the spike, what happened with that downturn, explain what that is. They then train their machine learning algorithms with these new bits of information and intelligence. And so therefore, when they predict and forecast, it's very, very accurate, and they can explain how they got there. Whereas all the AI we use at the moment, including ChatGPT, when you use it, it gives you a wonderful outcome, but it can't tell you why and how. And so if you're using that to make decisions in your business, and not knowing how it got there, you're on some pretty shaky ground. And I think of it as being a sort of an ex-pilot in my very younger days. I think of it as a black box from an aircraft. Unfortunately, when an aircraft crashes, they immediately run over and grab the black box, and they get the black box and they pull out all the data from the black box. But that doesn't tell them how the aircraft crashed. They have to bring in experts, aviation experts and whatever it might be. And they go through the data and they identify these causes, what happened. And it's normally not just one, something, a little screw comes loose or a wire frays on an aircraft and it causes a little fire, which causes something. So it's many, many causes, a sequence of causes. And this is what Bob and his team find out. They find that A causes B, which causes C. And then they explain that. And that makes a huge difference. And therefore, And one thing I was really enfeathered by with Bob and his team, and he's got 60 odd experts, some really great people around the world that help him in the back there.
Did you say 60 or 6?
60 experts, and they've been together for 30 years doing this. Daryl, they're not just a bunch of young geniuses out of university have decided to do this. I've been working at this for 30 years, building these systems, and they actually currently do a lot of work for the big Fortune 500 companies, particularly the consumer goods companies, the brands Pepsi, Procter & Gamble, all these people. You go to the supermarket and buy goods, and you buy a shampoo at $4.50. They do a lot of that analysis as to where to price that good, where to place that good, where to sell those goods throughout America, right down to postcode. So they give a lot of predictive analysis to those companies to tell them how to make money and very accurately. They can take any stock off the stock market, and you and I might invest in a few stocks, and we use our own mythology to figure out which ones we like and which ones we think will go up and go down, and most of the time we're wrong. they use this causal analysis to go through and find out why stocks are moving up or down. And because they use a vector mathematical method, the vector can very accurately predict the direction and magnitude of the stock. So they can actually tell me, Greg, if you pick this stock, next week it's going to go up, and it's going to go in this direction, and it's going to go up or down, $3.33, to that degree of accuracy. And they are scaringly accurate the number of times they get that right. So finding the causes of the data and applying those causes to the future, it becomes very, very explainable. So in a nutshell, what makes them different is that we are able to explain what happened with the history of the data, using the causal analysis and finding all these causes and highlight the inflection points and anomalies. Then with those anomalies, get some human experts to come and tell us what happened there and why that happened. We put that back into the machines, and they have a really great platform that works on microservices. So they can do this in seconds and minutes versus days and days of analysis.
Something that you said there is very unique. And you might have noticed in the article that I just recently published, I talked about the need for companies who are involved in doing this type of work, that they need to have high powered PCs, because you don't want to put this information in ChatGPT, because of course it becomes part of ChatGPT's domain.
Yes.
Are you finding that companies are now seeking these high powered proprietary desktops and servers?
They are. I mean, this whole notion of big data, it should really be called big disappointment. I mean, we've all tried to get our big data in our company working for us, and very few have succeeded in doing this. And I suddenly realized, if you gave this big data to Bob and his team, wow, you get some amazing. They find knowledge in that data for you, and they find little gems that we never knew about, and perhaps even revenue lines that you didn't even realize you had. And so yes, having that equipment, having that hardware in your company to manage that is a first point. Also, secondly, what I found out is that, and again, I from my own experience of companies, you know, my own companies, we've had data in the sales team, data in the finance team, data in the HR team, and none of that data talks to each other. It's all in different formats and everything. So bringing all that together, harmonizing that data is an absolute critical step. And Bob and his team have AI equipment and programs and algorithms that manage that process to make that data usable. That's very, very usable. And they combine that with, I think, about 15 million data sets, like federal data, S&P data, World Bank data from all over the world, and combine that. And then you can see many different causes. You can look at this from many different angles in real time and find out what might be happening here, and then predict and forecast what to do next with an explanation of why you've chosen that direction. And it's so critical for a decision maker in business is to not just make a decision, but have some backup evidence to back you up. If it goes wrong, then you've got, well, you know, this is what we thought it was going to happen. If it goes right, then, you know, congratulations.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Mr. Greg Dufell. He's in Malaysia currently, world traveler, but he is the CEO of Vulcane AI. And we're talking about causal AI, which means that it's not only going to tell you what happened, but how it happened. So you have explained, you've already answered my next question is, what makes Vulcane AI unique? So what are your current implementation plans for Vulcane AI? Who are your, if you can publicly talk about it, because I know you might be working on some proprietary customers, but what are you most excited about?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Great stuff. Even though Vulcane is itself is only a few months old as a company, we are the commercial arm of Bob and his team. So they are the experts and analysts and the data scientists and doing all that magic behind the scenes. My job in Vulcane is to take all that, productize it, put a brand on it, put the right color lipstick on it, and get it into customers' hands, or find customers who have this big data need and bring them into Bob's team and answer some of their questions. So at the moment, we're doing some really interesting, and so we're sort of doing it by domain verticals, Zara, where I brought in some domain experts. One gentleman is David Pease. He's a global expert on risk in the insurance industry, blockchain, all of those types of technologies. And David has brought already a couple of insurance companies to us who have issues. One had a very bad fraud case last year, and trying to understand, you know, claim frauds and things like that. So we've taken their data and literally in a couple of days, we've found anomalies. And we've given that data back to the insurance company, to their claims department, to say, explain this. And they've come back, and some of those anomalies are just mistakes, you know, data key punching mistakes, a computer made a glitch, they put a wrong claim number on it, and that's just human error. And that comes with the domain, doesn't it? But some of those are requiring deeper, oh yeah, why would they charge this? And that could be fraud. And the goal of that engagement with the customer is, once we've identified that and they've given us more examples of this anomaly that could be fraud, we'll train our algorithms to be smarter and smarter at that. We'll go back through all the data they have and all the new data they bring in, and we'll find instances where this could be fraud. And we'll give them, we hope to engage with them and do a real-time alert. So as their claims come through, before they pay out on a claim, we'll be able to identify some of these that might be very suspicious, and they can investigate more and hopefully save money for the
company. Do I understand your business model to be a SaaS model, because it's going to be an ongoing relationship?
Yes. Very much so. And using the magic that Bob and his team do, but even allowing, we can even allow a company that has their own analysis team and data scientists in there, we can give them a whole set of tools that they can do some of their own causal relationships. And an area I sort of neglected to focus on also, we do scientific, or Bob and his team do scientific hypothesis testing, which is very critical. So not only do they find a cause, but then, like, as a hypothesis, you try and disprove that, try and prove it wrong. Right. And that reinforces the validity of that cause. And again, they do that in real time. So they can do thousands of hypothesis tests in real time. And some of the things they've done in the past for, like, healthcare, When a normal healthcare company does a clinical trial and you take 500 or 600 guinea pigs, if I dare say that, and you give them a drug and they test this drug over 6 months and what are the reactions of that, using causal analysis, they can do that clinical trial in a number of days or weeks and come up with more accurate predictions. And so saving potentially, you know, all those guinea pigs the pain, but also saving a lot of costs for the healthcare company as well. And coming up with perhaps a better drug.
You know, this sounds extremely encouraging and very exciting. Has Bob and his team at Umonix, have they published any peer-reviewed papers on this capability?
Yes, I have. Well, Bob, Dr. White here he's an author of a book as well, American Buyout, and well worth to promote it. Well worth looking at that. That gives a really interesting possibility for bailing out America and other countries that seemingly have huge deficits but really have huge surpluses in their trade. But Bob has issued more than 30 peer papers on AI, causal AI.
Yes.
He was one of the pioneers of integrated business processing back in the 80s, which we all use in our businesses today without even thinking about it. So some great things there. And one of the things that, and I guess one of the unique things that I really would like to highlight that we do, and we think we're rather unique in that, is that we can analyze multiple time periods. And I'll just sort of pause for a moment and let that sink in. Mm-hmm. Let's take a healthcare example. A doctor giving an MRI scan. Current AI can look at these scans, these X-ray images in a hospital, and it can look for patterns in the scans and come up and say, here's cancer. And AI can say, here's cancer. Wow, this is amazing. But what caused it?
Right.
What type of cancer is it? And can you predict when it's going to occur? It can't, because it's taking a snapshot. And I think, Daryl, if you're a sort of a retail investor like me, and you look at a company and you go, oh, let's have a look at its balance sheet. A balance sheet of a company is a snapshot in time. But you can't make an investment decision based on a balance sheet. You need to look at a lot more information. You need to look at the cash flows and the P&Ls and understand a bit about the company and the competitors. So you need to look at a lot more. So we can look at multiple time periods. We can look at streaming data. So causal AI will look at all those scans, X-ray scans, and we'll talk to expert doctors and whatever that might be, cancer therapy, et cetera, and we'll find out what these causes are. And then we can, in real time, say if you're wearing an iWatch and it's monitoring all these heart conditions and blood pressure conditions you've got, we can take all that and we can make a real-time prediction and say, hey, Daryl, you better relax next week. You're in danger of having a stroke or a heart murmur or something. Or here's some symptoms that you better go and check with your doctor. You've got some symptoms that look like cancer. So we're able to predict with great accuracy, multiple time periods and use that to find causal factors that could be life-saving.
Wow. I mean, that's huge because, the NIH gives out like between $35 and $40 billion in research grants. So I would see that this tool, this AI causal AI tool, would be very beneficial to a number of researchers.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we have a very open agenda. I think we're sitting on some great ability to change things and identify things and make causes really happen. And we are very open. Volcane's very open to bringing in partners and bringing in people. And of course, well, if the government wants to spend that money with me, I'd very happily take some of that and help them. I think this is a great opportunity to really make some impact on many, many businesses and many different sectors, particularly the healthcare, climate. We've seen we are experiencing poor Hawaii. Look what happened in the last couple of weeks. We have access to climate data, and without being facetious here, we sort of predicted and saw this was going to happen. Something bad was going to happen because we saw these extreme dry spells in these different parts, and there's a danger signal. And so if we can provide this warning to places and people that these things may happen, then we could be saving lives, Daryl, with some of this knowledge.
So what are the plans over the next 3 to 6 months for Volcane AI to get the word out, to as they say, commercialized Vulcan AI?
Sure. So we're in a number of POCs with different verticals in the industry. I did mention insurance. I did mention a little bit about healthcare. We're also doing travel and tourism, helping to predict tourism numbers. Of course, post-COVID, when the tourism industry was devastated and no one made a cent, everybody's now really challenged to try and make a return again and get their businesses moving again. So we're trying to help them identify where their customers are going to come from and what sort of spend that might be and what marketing they might want to do to capture that customer. But as a Vulcan, as a company, I'm out actually raising money at the moment. We are sort of a startup, so we're doing our seed round with family and friends. Hey, if you want to throw a few dollars at me, you're welcome to come on board and join the journey. So with that, I'm going to put together a team of more domain experts in the fields. I've already brought together some really amazing product people who have decades of product experience at understanding how to take these data products that Bob and his team have over 100 different products there, how to take them and put them into a commercial branded product that's available for all the different companies that might want to use these products. So that's my goal, build up the team, build up our presence, get our first customers on board, sign up our first customers in the next month or two. I've mentioned a few of those in the insurance and travel industry. Really begin to build up the business side of Vulcan. And ultimately what Vulcan wants to be is we want to be the full commercial arm of Humonics, Bob's team. Bob's team already consults for a number of companies. They're going to pass all that business across to Vulcan once I get resourced properly. So Bob and his team can concentrate on what they love doing, which is crunching numbers.
And so how can someone get in touch with you?
Vulcan, we're Vulcan.ai, VULCAIN.AI. Of course, I'm Greg, GREG, at Vulcan.AI. It's a very simple email, and welcome any inquiries and any business opportunities or any data problems that you might your readers might have and listeners might have that they want us to solve. Would gladly take on that challenge.
So we're coming to the close of our discussion, and I love what you're doing. I love your energy. And what are some lasting thoughts you want to leave with our audience about Vulcan AI?
Well, I guess, Daryl, we've all got challenges in our daily lives, and we all are tasked with sometimes making decisions. And a lot of the time we use best guesses or just make a decision without too much backing. If you want to find out how to make really strong, well balanced decisions, send me some of your data. Let us have a look at your data, and we'll help you extract knowledge, real knowledge from that data that will make you a smarter manager, or at least help you be more efficient in your role. I think we've got that open agenda to help as many people as we can make better decisions and become, really become knowledge advocates of what they're doing in their business or their life.
Wow, that is awesome. And your email again is Greg at Vulcan,
VULCAIN.AI.
Beautiful. And Humonics, so you're going to be the commercial arm of Humonics. Is there going to be any co-branding with that? So folks will know that Vulcan AI is powered by Humonics.
You've got it, Daryl. You've got my tagline there. Yes, powered by Humonics.
I'll send you my invoice.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And don't tell Intel, it was like the Intel inside, right? Yes, powered by Humonics. The data is powered by Humonics, and Vulcan is the lipstick on the brand.
Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Mr. Greg Dufell, who is the CEO of Vulcan.ai, as our in-studio guest, talking about all of the great things about causal AI. Greg, thank you for coming on the program.
My pleasure, Daryl, and thank you for hosting me, and I hope your listeners and readers have enjoyed this, and I look forward to engaging with them.
Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up for this week on Leadership with Daryl W. Gunter on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. We want to wish you to have a great day, but remember, leadership begins with you.